Thanks for tuning in to Timberlake's Message podcast. Taking your next right step doesn't have to be live on the weekend. It can be right now. So whether you're checking this message out for the first time or you're just looking for a weekday refresher, we hope you can apply to your life these practical teachings and through that, come closer to God. To find your next right step, check out the connection card at timberlakechurch.com/connection card or find it on the Timberlake Church app. Enjoy the message.
Well, obviously, 2020 was a different kind of year, and we had a different kind of Christmas Eve. Although we were able to welcome literally thousands of people live in drive-in services and crowds we really never imagined, and online as well. I hope that that was an encouragement to you, and I am looking forward to this next year. One of the reasons I'm looking forward to it, and this is just to tell you a little bit, is the board of the church has graciously given me a sabbatical, and so I'm going to be kicking off for the next couple weeks this series, and I'm going to take it in some large chunks, and so I'll be gone for about 6 weeks, and you will hear from some old friends, as well as some nationally known speakers as well, that'll be coming live here to our campuses, and I really hope that you will grow during this season. You know, you might be worried a little bit about it, but don't be worried at all. People will say to me every once in a while, I'll go and speak at another church, and they'll compliment, and they'll say, hey, are you always this good? And I'll go, no, never. You got 25 years of my best stuff in 25 minutes. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get people giving their very best stuff. And then I'm going to be coming back at the end of February, so don't get too used to the good preaching, and I will be kicking off a new series for us. Well, I'm going to be doing it this week and next week as we are in our new series, Finding Normal. You know, 2021 is already freaking some people out. People, I love what you send me these things. Someone sent me this one already. Pretty sure this is a bridge you take to 2021. I like this one as well. Years from now, we're going to be like 2018, 2019, 2021, 2022. Hey, you missed. Nope, we just don't talk about that one. And then I like this one. The year is 2075. Grandma, why do you like sitting outside? Me, there was a time this was illegal. And then, this is my favorite, Casual Thursday. 10 years from now, you're going to put on a jacket and find a mask in the pocket. Oh, man, what a weird year that was. You're going to chuckle to yourself. Then you're going to pick up your machete and continue across the wasteland, keeping to the shadows to avoid the roving gangs of cannibal raiders. Now, if you don't know what that is an allusion to Mad Max, which, just a little bit of trivia for you, when did Mad Max take place? 2021. You're welcome. Okay, now I've bummed you out a little bit. But really, what are we doing today? What I want to do is I want to do what I really always do this time of year, is recalibrate us as a church, myself individually, and hopefully you, as we look at our faith and how to grow in our faith. As we look at finding normal, I think finding normal in our faith is the most important thing we can do. And my prayer is this, is that you will have a relentless faith. Because when you have a relentless faith, then it really doesn't matter what comes at you. In fact, there have been many studies that'll talk about people who are successful. And hopefully you have a high IQ. That certainly will help. But that's not going to be the number one determination whether or not you're successful. It's the people who are relentless, the ones who have successful businesses, who have successful marriages, and I would say who are successful in their faith. But it's not just about being relentless. It's about getting our priorities straight. Now, we know that, right? And we always talk about that. Jesus, he gives us some context. And what we're going to do today is we're going to actually read a whole book of the Bible. And before you get too freaked out, it is a one-chapter book. My guess is even if you're a Bible person, a church person, you probably never really studied this book of the Bible. Maybe a few of you have. But to set this up, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a more popular, common verse in the Bible. Jesus says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And a lot of us were like, okay, I like that, right? You know, if I just trust God, you know, I try everything and then that doesn't work out, I guess I can just trust God and then it'll be okay. That's a misreading of that verse. Jesus is saying, you know, the things you worry about, hey, they're real. They really are. You know, you're thinking about your job, health, kids, all of that. He's just saying, if you want those things to go well, it's a matter of priorities. There's, the book by Charles Duhigg, he talks about keystone habits, that if you get in certain habits, it'll affect every other area of your life. And so we can't let secondary things be first. And so Jesus says, seek first my kingdom, the kingdom of God, and my righteousness. And all these other things, not that there's not going to be worries. He said, actually, tomorrow, you're going to have a few more things to worry about. But I'm going to be with you and guiding you and directing you. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal just last week, and it was talking about how 2020 was really an accelerant in so many ways. It's not like we're heading into 2021. It's more like we're heading into 2031, that we progressed in many areas of our society, or regressed, depending on your opinion, about a decade in a one-year period of time. And in the midst of this, people can get disoriented. Some of you love it. Some of you thrive on change. I'm one of those people. I know, don't hate me, but I love it when things change. But this year was a lot of change. Now, when it comes to our faith, though, my question is, how has that been changing for you? Has that been changing in a positive way? Is it just been incremental when everything else has been exponential? Or maybe you've taken some exponential steps in your faith. You know, many of us, we can look towards seasons where we've taken these steps and things, we've really grown in our faith. Or maybe you came to faith for the first time. You're like me, didn't have the opportunity to be raised in a great church like Timberlake, actually in any church at all. I was introduced to Jesus and to church later in my teenage years. The question is, what did 2020 look like? And what are you going to be doing for 2021 to hopefully look like a great year for you? That is, you find normal, that you'll find Jesus in the center of that normal. And again, what did Jesus promise? He said, if you seek my kingdom first, these other things are going to start to line up in your life. And I wish I could go into that in extensive detail, because I could tell you story after story of people who have come and they've just on the end of a bad divorce, or there's been an employment issue or a legal problem that they've had. And they've come to Jesus, and it's not that those things weren't difficult, but they all started to come into alignment. Here's the problem, though, is when some of us, when we hit these challenges, we don't have a relentless faith. We get to more of a reckless faith, or a resistant faith. And sometimes what will happen is we'll just tend to quit God. Have you ever had a friend who's quit God? Now this is, let's not judge other people, because that's really not our place. But we don't know if that person was a passionate follower of Christ or more just a cultural, and we've talked about that. Hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I do good things because I'm a good church person. And that's not necessarily the kind of faith that's talked about in the Bible. But there are good people who have become disillusioned. And maybe this year, you became a little bit disillusioned. So before we look at how to have a relentless faith, how to have a faith that's restorative for you, for your soul, for your family, for our community and our church, let's look at why people quit God. I think one reason is pain. And we know that, right? People will say, hey, why did my mom die, or my child die, or my marriage die, or my career collapse? And there'll be an event that we somehow tie that, you know, God made a promise that these things were going to work out. And it's God wants to bless you. God's intention is actually to bless you. That's, you know, I don't believe that he's like a genie that you get every wish granted. That's not Christianity. But he wants to bless you. How he blesses us can look different. And sometimes it's a blessing in the midst of a difficult circumstance. In fact, if I was going to describe every growth moment in my life in faith, I would say that pain was part of the process every time. And now, we don't seek that out. That's not a good thing to seek out. But if it's happening, you say, God, will you leverage that? Will you leverage that in my life? And it'll teach you resilience and endurance as well. Another reason people quit God is people. People will let you down. Maybe you were let down even in a church environment. And maybe, I hope it didn't happen here. If it did, I'm sorry. If it happened somewhere else, I am sorry that you experienced that. Maybe they didn't say it, I'll say it. But sometimes it's people who will just lead you astray. I've talked to people who will get a new boyfriend or a new spouse, and they'll walk away from God because that person, it's subtle, because they'll subtly accept it because they want you. And before you know it, you've wandered away from God, and if you were going to go over a trajectory of 36 to 60 months, you would see how far. Relationships can enhance your faith, or it can really ruin your faith in some sense. I was at a church in San Diego, not the church I pastored. I was actually visiting a church years later. And it was one of these churches where they did sort of an old school invitation to say yes to Jesus. And that's great. I mean, we don't do it this way at Timberlake, but they had you stand up and come forward. And a great church, lots of people there. And there was this young guy in the midst of it. You know, they said, everyone, you know, bow your heads. If you want to accept Jesus, stand up. No one look. I peeked. That's what I do. And and I saw as he stood up, his girlfriend, a look of horror, and he was about to go forward, she grabbed him and started pulling him down to his chair. And I'm thinking, just like the Garden of Eden. And no, it's a little biblical humor if you don't get it. But the literally, I mean, it was such a physical manifestation of someone drawing someone else away from faith. Maybe it's some snarky professor who act like they knew more than they actually did, by the way, because they've never been challenged intellectually on the same playing field. And it's caused some problems. Maybe it's doubt. And doubt comes from all sorts of places. Doubt can be good. I think doubt at its best is faith-seeking understanding. But maybe it's doubt and you've never dealt with your doubts, or you've never doubted your doubts. And then there's crisis. I think that's what we find ourselves in today. Sometimes we feel like quitting God because there's all the crisis in the world. We say, God, where are you in the middle of it? We don't have a historical perspective. We have more of a hysterical perspective when it comes to the moment. And say, no, there's always been challenges in history. And God shows up and God shows his compassion in the midst of suffering. And part of living in a world like this where we have free will is that it's a broken world. And there will come a time where there will be no more pain and no more tears and no more sickness and no more death. And that will come when God finally brings everything to a close, when he establishes his kingdom. But it says that he's not slow in keeping his promise, but he's patient, wanting everyone to get a chance to say yes to Jesus, to spend eternity with God. See, that's an invitation that I hope you respond to. But each of us makes that choice. So whatever the reason, the big question is how do I avoid quitting God? Or maybe you say, hey, I'm really not making ground in my faith. How do I start to gain some ground in my faith? Or I've never stepped into faith. Well, we're going to look at the book of Jude. Now, Jude is written by the brother of James and a half-brother of Jesus, most likely. Think about that as part of your resume. But I don't know. I don't know if I would want Jesus as my older brother. I know that sounds heretical. But can you imagine your mom? Why can't you be more like your brother? And you're like, I'm not Jesus. I am not Jesus. So he had been skeptical about Jesus. In fact, at one point, he was part of an opposition movement that was saying, hey, Jesus is crazy. But he saw what Jesus did, the more miracles he performed, that when he went to the grave, that he rose again on the third day. And so he changed his mind. And so he was encouraging other people. And you know what his charge is in Jude 1:3 is contend for the faith. Now, there's the faith in terms of orthodoxy, that there's, it's not, well, just believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want, but not everything's right. People believe crazy things. I mean, how many conspiracy theories have you heard in the last year? And if you don't know what a conspiracy theory is, you've bought into them. There's all sorts of crazy things going on. You have to contend. It's an active movement towards faith. And so we're going to talk about some actions we can take. There's also a warning, and I would say this during as we hit, I know this last few weeks even has been very difficult with the spread of COVID and people dying, but by all accounts, the scientists of the world would say we're heading into the home stretch in this country, at least, of COVID as people, millions of people and millions more start to become vaccinated. But we're in this in-between time. And this can be a time of growth, a time of stagnation, or maybe, and I know this is a time of desperation. I've talked to way too many people who literally have given up hope of life during this period of time. And my prayer is that you will go a different direction. And even if it's not that extreme, that you will gain ground. I want to do that in my faith. So here's a warning. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's sort of saying in the middle of it, you got to be careful that you're not too proud, that you don't think this couldn't happen to you. Smug. I mean, a lot of people have become smug. And humility, I think, is a wonderful trait and essential to a growth. Well, okay, we talked about the charges he gives, and those actually come a few verses into the book of Jude. A lot of the book of Jude is actually about a warning against false teachers, people sort of teaching a way to live that really is destructive. And if you want to look at that book of the Bible, it'll just take you a few minutes to read. You can read that, and you'll see how stark those warnings are. We're going to get into those a little bit, but we're going to focus more on the action steps so you don't ever get there. It starts out this way. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, again, notice the humility there. He doesn't say, hey, brother of Jesus. No, he doesn't say that. He says, servant of Jesus, to those who have been called, those who are loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. So this is really the goal that there is that you would have mercy and peace, and that would be a byproduct of faith. And then he goes on in the section that you can read on your own. He says, I wish to talk to you about the faith that we share, sort of celebrate what God has done. Said, but there's been some people who've taught another way to live, who've been destructive along the way. And so what I want to do is I want to counteract and I want to correct it. So as we consider this passage, I want to consider it through this lens, is how do you lean in? And I'm calling it being relentless with your faith. There's four ways I want you to be relentless. Number one is be relentlessly optimistic. be relentlessly optimistic. Now, I know that's hard. I mean, there's been crisis after crisis, right? And then to top it all off, I think like the Hallmark Channel released 30 new movies. I mean, it is, yeah, I know that some of you love that. My wife started watching those in October, those Christmas movies, which I think is a little aggressive, just to let you know. But and there, you know, there's always the same story, and I know some of you, and the same actors, and the same everything, and the same sense of death, I feel. my wife is going to kill me for this. So. But no, seriously, being optimistic, I'm not telling introverts to become extroverts. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to be realistic. I am saying for pessimists to become Christ-like. See, there's no such thing as a Christian pessimist. That cannot exist if you believe the scriptures. Now, you can be bummed out. You can actually be clinically depressed, but please don't be pessimistic. Because we know in the end, God's plan and purposes prevail. And if you'll let them, those plans and purposes will prevail in your life as well. There's a contrast that's given, and that's in verse 16. And describing these people who are causing all the problems, he says, these people are grumblers and fault finders. And how many grumblers and fault finders do we see? Here's the thing. I've been asking the question as I'm heading into the new year is, where have I been a grumbler and a fault finder? And how can I live a life that really relies and believes on God's, believes God's promises? You know, one of my favorite verses that I learned right after I became a Christian from the New King James Version of the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know some of you are like, okay, that's it. Pollyanna thinking, he's like, you know, just not getting the hard part of the Bible. No, I'm very aware of the scriptures. I've studied them a lot in my life. I know that most of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, meaning lamenting situations that are difficult. And in the midst of that, in the context of that book of the Bible, in the context of a radical awareness of all the suffering, all the trials, all the pain, what does the scripture say? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have a different perspective, because we have a different kind of hope. In fact, if you look at the book of Jude, most of us probably are not familiar with many of the verses in that book of the Bible, except at the very end, a doxology, a blessing of sorts. And I want to go there. We're going to get to the rest of it. I'm not just skipping ahead and going to finish. Because it talks about this optimistic faith in the midst of people, in the midst of heresy, in the midst of people doing the wrong thing, in the midst of people confused. There's this optimism. And it says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's talking about all the people who fell away. And he says, God's able to keep you from that. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. If you're depending on culture, you're depending, no, God can keep you from that. And to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now that is an optimistic faith. And part of that is an understanding why pessimism doesn't work. Why pessimism doesn't work is because you unconsciously self-sabotage. I've heard, well, I'm not going to get that job, so I'm not going to apply. You're probably not going to get any of the jobs you don't apply for. I'm not going to do that sport because I wouldn't be very good. Well, you're not going to be very good unless you try it, right? You know, and there are some sports, like my wife has tried to get me to go parasailing. How many of you have done parasailing? I think she's trying to kill me. And so so there are some things I will not do, but no, we self-sabotage, don't we? And then we bring other people down along the way. You know, there's a reason why in Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore is not leading the team. because he brings everybody down. And then here's the most important part, is you deny the power of God. In fact, one of the studies I did was, I've done many times, are the names of God, where it'll talk about God, his character, his power, Jehovah, Kadesh, the God who sanctifies, the God who takes the broken, dirty things in our life, the sinful things, and makes them holy. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. You want peace? That's what God brings. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Maybe this has been a difficult season for you from a financial perspective. Would you let God provide? Would you acknowledge him when he does? Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I believe that God will heal. He'll heal broken thoughts, broken emotions, broken bodies. They're all around the Bible. Would you say God can't do that? Well, if you predetermine he can't, then maybe he can't. But you say, God, hey, I bring this to you. Jehovah Nissi, God our banner, God our victory. I think that's what we need. Now, this is not Pollyanna thinking. This leads to number two, be relentlessly discerning. Is that we need to be discerning because not every opinion is right. The reality is not everything being peddled as God is God. Not everything being peddled as faith is faith. We read this. It says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that true? Scoffers always divide, never unite. Who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Now, as it's talking, you're saying, okay, is that the weird stuff there, the Spirit? No, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, which is his presence of God here. You're saying, well, man, I don't totally understand it. Theologians have debated that for years, but we can get our mind around it. In fact, as we offer it, and as a team, we've been planning really more advanced level classes. And you say, hey, I want to go deep into that topic. You're going to have more and more opportunities as we look at 2021, besides, of course, studying the Bible and messages on weekends and devotions. See, when we have the Holy Spirit, here's what happens. Is we learn to live free. I came across this article a long time ago. It was about a bear that was kept captive in Bern, Switzerland, I believe, Switzerland or Germany, I'm not sure which. But basically it was in this 12 by 12 area, and it was treated really poorly, and kids would throw junk at it, and people came along and they saw the horrible conditions. They got the bear, they rescued it, left it on a preserve, and just with all this miles to roam, sort of doing really a wonderful thing. They said the saddest thing was is the bear still wandered back and forth in like about a 12 by 12 area, because even though it was free, it didn't know how to live free. And my prayer is that for those of you God has set you free, is that you need to, that we need to learn to live free. And that's number three, be relentless in your spiritual disciplines. Now, discipline, we can say, hey, that's a bad thing. No, this can be a good thing. It's just, it's where we start to grow. It's, you know, you stretch the muscles. You remember what those were when the gyms were open? And it says this way in Jude 1:20. But you, my dear friends, must build each other up in their most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we grow in our faith? There's some things that are really essential. I don't know if I'd call them basic, but here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Pick, like if you're newer to your faith, pick at least three of these to lean into. And you say, hey, this is representative of my life. Then there's probably a next level faith for you. So what are the disciplines that we know in the scripture? One is just simply weekly worship. Is that that's the Bible talks a lot about worship, actually essential, and it's always, you know, some people say, well, I just worship God alone in my own way. That's not biblical worship. Biblical worship is always done in community. Now, it may be virtual community right now, but it's always done in community. We have not pushed you to come back physically to church. Many of you have, but there will come a time where that will be important, but still connect in that way. There's also baptism. If you've not been baptized as an adult, January 31st, you can sign up online. You can do that right now or use the app. That's a sign of a believer. It's basically, baptism is like going to your own funeral, but in a good way, is because the bad part dies and the good part is raised to life. You say, well, does that mean I will never sin again? Nope. But it's as if I've never sinned. That's a theological term called justification, just as if I had never sinned. Also, there's giving, tithing. And you're like, okay, here it comes. And I teach this. By the way, if some organization, I know most nonprofits, they, you know, the sky is falling, give or we're going to close. I won't judge them. That's just the way they work. But in the church, we're always very faithful with what you give or don't give. We just budget intelligently so we don't have to talk about money 24/7. But I want to talk about discipleship because Jesus says, where your money is, your heart is also. That's why to put God first, and you say, that's the most important, maybe set up reoccurring giving on the app and say, hey, we can do more. And it's not, we have lots of opportunities, yeah, all of that. And there's so many reasons why from an organizational perspective, but this is way more about you and your spiritual growth. One of the first things I did after I became a Christian is I went all the way to the tithe, giving 10%. You say, hey, man, I'm not sure. Well, start somewhere. And I would encourage you, maybe for you, you're like, hey, we're going to go beyond that. That's a spiritual discipline. Encourage you to start it. You can sign up on the app. Then there's restore. What is a broken area of your life that you would say, hey, God, I've lived with this limp long enough. I've lived with this grief long enough. I've lived with this sexual addiction long enough. I've lived with the pain of this divorce long enough. I've lived with this broken marriage long enough. I've lived with this, whatever you're dealing with, and we are so committed as much as we can to partnering with you. See, one of the things we talk about is a low shame level. We don't believe we're perfect, but God is, and God will restore those broken areas. Isn't it time? Isn't it time to say, I'm not going to go into 2022 like I did to 2021. I'm going to get help. I'm going to get hope. Also, they're serving. Serving, again, it's not, hey, we need more volunteers. Of course, we always need more volunteers. We actually had one of our largest new groups of volunteers in the midst of COVID in the last 90 days. I just simply think it's essential for anyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ to serve somewhere, that we're not about ourselves. I'd love to see you have a ministry in the church and outside the church. We'll say, well, it's COVID, I can't do anything. Can you pray? Could you call people? You know, there's areas we all can do that. And so maybe you've been out of the habit of that. This is not to guilt you. This is to grow you in your faith. And then to connect in a group. We're starting groups. In fact, we have a lot of groups. If you want to host one, because when we do the Zoom groups in particular, they need to be smaller, so we need more leaders. If you would indicate that, that might be your step. Or a daily time with God. Where you spend some time every day and you say, God, I'm going to put you first. Now, there are so many other things you can do. There's sharing your faith. For me, one of my goals this year as I set out is that I'm going to share my faith with people who totally unrelated to the church. Obviously, I do it in the church. But I want to help some people cross the line of faith. Maybe it's missions. So many opportunities. But you say, okay, what's that way that I can follow what Jude says and contend for the faith? I think number four is be relentless in grace. That grace is where we begin and where we end. Grace is the deep end of the pool. Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead, bringing forgiveness and restoration. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then Jude, you know, he has all this language about these people who are wandering away and following away. You know, one of the things he says towards the end of the letter, be merciful to those who doubt. He's saying, just remember, this is not, and I hate it that Christianity in some ways has become politicized, which is nuts to me. It's always essentially about the grace of God that transcends everything. And he says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So my prayer is that you would be relentless in your faith. You would be relentless in laying down your life like Jesus did as you do that for others. You'd be okay, a little bit selfish in your pursuit of God, that you would grow there, because Jesus said, when I seek God first, I'm a better dad, I'm a better employer, I'm a better employee, I'm a better neighbor. And that we would see God show up in an amazing way as we find a normal that's not only a new normal, that's hopefully a God-inspired one as we head into this year. I hope that you'll join me next week as I continue on this series. I'm going to do another whole one chapter book of the Bible, and as we grow together. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can come into this place. Lord, that we can experience your peace that passes all understanding. God, I do pray for my friends who, and I hope this wasn't in what I said, but somehow this is hitting them hard and not in a good way. They're feeling disconnected from your grace. And God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts now, that you would just let us know the steps we can take towards you, that you are the Father who waits for us to return with arms open wide. And maybe you say, hey, I need to return to God, or maybe I need to turn to God for the very first time. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And you would just pray something like this to God, wherever you're at, whatever venue, you would say, Jesus, I invite you to be first in my life, to be forgiver of my sins, and help me to follow you. I want to be relentless in this pursuit because you were relentless in how you pursued me. And so I give you the only thing I can. That's my attention. That's my energy, my sin, and my love, because you showed love first. So Jesus, I come to you. God, I thank you for my friends who made that decision. I thank you that this is going to be a great year no matter what happens, because you can be in the center of everything we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Message podcast. If you would like to watch the video version of this, visit our online campus at online.timberlakechurch.com, which is also live Saturday evenings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15 Pacific time. And don't forget to check out our app for a one-stop solution to all things Timberlake. Thanks again, and we hope to see you this weekend.